Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God. Well, thank you for choosing to spend this part of your time with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. How many people have played the game Simon Says when you were growing up? Just throw that into the chat section. Yes, no, what is Simon Says? Whatever your response to the question is, how many people played the game Simon Says growing up? So the way Simon Says works is as long as you do what Simon says, you stay in the game. If you don't do what Simon says, or you do something other than what Simon says, you're out of the game. Now, there are different types of people that play Simon Says. There are people who want to win, and so they're intently listening to Simon to do whatever Simon says or not do whatever Simon doesn't say. And they're also looking around intently at everyone else, looking for any possible mistake to send them out of the game. Well, there are other people who don't want to be in the Simon Says game at all, so they mess up the first opportunity that they get just so they can be out of the game. And then there are other people who are in the game. They're not necessarily worried about anybody else or what everybody else is doing. They're just simply trying to do the best they can. When it comes to following Jesus, there are people who have the perception that following Jesus is just like a big game of Simon Says known as Jesus Says. And for a lot of people, it's easier to stay out of the game of following Jesus, which isn't really a game if you understand what I mean. But there's people, it's easier to stay out of the game because when we're out, we get to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and we don't have to get wrapped up in all the perceived rules and do's and don'ts of what we think it means to follow Jesus. In the Jesus Says version of following Jesus, the goal is to be good enough to stay in the game. And when we realize that we can never be good enough, it's easier to make the decision just to stay out of the game. The invitation that Jesus gave was not an invitation into a game of Jesus Says. The word Jesus used over and over again was follow. And follow is not an invitation into just a set of rules or a set of believing a certain way or behaving a certain way. The invitation to follow is an invitation into relationship. And Jesus invited all sorts of people to follow him. He invited people who were really good at being good. And he invited people who weren't good at being good at all. He invited people who considered what relationship with God was about, and he invited people who were disconnected from God and gave God no consideration whatsoever. Regardless of anything, Jesus invited people to follow him. One of the four accounts of Jesus' life was written by a guy by the name of Matthew. And Matthew includes, as part of his account of Jesus' life, a little bit of an autobiography about Jesus' invitation to follow him. And here's where we pick up the story as Matthew recounts this autobiographical part of his life and his account of Jesus' life. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, if you've been with us before, we've talked about this tax collector thing a time or two. If you've not been with us before, you may not be aware. So let's dive into this tax collector thing just a little bit. For those of you who haven't heard it, this will be new to you. For those of you that have heard it, this will be a little bit of a reminder. My guess is most of you have slept since then and may have even forgotten a thing or two about this. But the basic deal was that tax collectors were hated. They were despised by the Jewish people. They were considered traitors because they collected taxes from Jewish people for the Roman government, which was very brutal and oppressive to the Jewish religion or to the Jewish society. Rome actually auctioned off the rights to serve as a tax collector in a certain region. So oftentimes it was people who had some financial resources and maybe even a little bit of wealth who were able to purchase the right to collect taxes for the Roman government. So they would then add to their personal wealth, since they could collect whatever they wanted to collect as long as they gave Rome what Rome required. They were basically leveraging a government taxation system for their own personal benefit, and they were despised and hated by the Jewish people. The people that purchased the rights to collect taxes in a certain province or region of the Roman Empire would then go out and hire locals who would collect taxes in different areas in the province, and they would pay them very well to do so. And again, as history proves, and as most of us would assume, these tax collectors were despised and hated by the Jewish people. They weren't able to go to temple as part of the Jewish religious system, and most of their friends and social circles were made up of people who were outcasts from the Jewish society. Matthew was one of these people. Matthew was one of the tax collectors. And as Jesus approaches Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth, there are, as a Jewish person, all sorts of things Jesus could have said to him that probably would have felt really, really good as a Jewish person to say. He could have sarcastically told Matthew how proud his parents must be for what he had become. He could have told Matthew how hated he was. And he could have told Matthew how despicable what he had done and the life's path that he had chosen was. Of all the things that Jesus could have said, which would have felt really, really good to say, this is what Jesus actually says to Matthew. Follow me. Of all the things Jesus could say, he invites Matthew into a relationship with him. And this invitation isn't just an invitation to a casual meal. This invitation is an invitation to identify with Jesus and for Jesus to identify with you. When Jesus offers this invitation to Matthew, it's likely that Matthew's tax collector booth is positioned by a port or by the sea or by some type of entry system for people. And so it's likely that there were other people around who heard this invitation. And I have to wonder what those people thought when Jesus invited somebody like a tax collector to follow him. At the very least, Jesus' closest followers were there. And I wonder what they thought when a bottom-of-the-barrel tax collector was invited to be a part of their group, to become one of them. Regardless of what anybody else thought, regardless of what anybody else would think, Jesus invited Matthew to follow him. Of all the things he could have said, his invitation was to follow. And there are a lot of ways that Matthew could have responded. But here's how the record shows Matthew's response. Follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. Certainly, it can't be that simple. Certainly, it can't be as easy as getting up and following. Certainly there had to be more rules, more do's, more don'ts. Certainly there had to be more Jesus says in the midst of it. Certainly there had to be something Matthew had to believe before he could follow. Certainly there had to be certain behaviors Matthew had to do or not do before he could follow. But notice that Jesus doesn't put those initial qualifiers on the invitation. He simply invites Matthew to follow. But because following is about relationship, there certainly are huge implications for people who choose to follow Jesus. Because following Jesus does mean doing what Jesus does. And following Jesus does mean believing in who Jesus is. But notice that the first thing that Jesus does is he invites Matthew to follow. And from that day forward, the question that Matthew would have to grapple with is, am I following? Imagine for people like you, for people like me, for anybody who thinks that following Jesus is some version of Simon Says known as Jesus Says. Imagine if we could put aside our preconceptions and our misconceptions and just ask and answer the question, am I following? We would do things differently. Not because Jesus says, but because we're in a relationship with Jesus as a follower of Jesus, and following Jesus and relationship always leads to change in our lives. If you think it's too simple, you wouldn't be alone. Because the Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day thought that the invitation was too simple. And here's what Matthew records happens next. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. So this relationship, this following relationship, led at some point to Jesus going to Matthew's house for a meal, which Luke's account records was a great feast. So it was a big deal. It was like a big party that Matthew threw. And Jesus is invited, and Jesus shows up. And one thing about this is, the interaction at the tax collector's booth, it would have been easy for Matthew to hide certain things about himself, to brush off certain things about Jesus or about himself. But sitting in a home around the dinner table in that kind of relationship, it's not so easy to hide, and it's not so easy to brush things off, because the level of following Jesus' relationship is more than a casual passing by encounter at the tax collector's booth. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Many, many tax collectors and sinners. Now, notice here that tax collectors have their own category. They're different than even the sinners. I mean, it's kind of like you look around and go, well, I may be a sinner, but at least I'm not a tax collector. But those are the people who were there that day. Those were the people that Jesus interacted with. Those were the people who were likely Matthew's only friends, the despised tax collector and the looked down upon sinner. Those were likely the only people that Matthew had in his social circle. But I also have to think, and this is just my perception and reading into the story, I also have to think that those are the very people Matthew wanted to meet Jesus. And here's one of the most powerful parts of this story. People who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus. And Jesus liked hanging out with people who were nothing like him. And the powerful part of the story is for people like me and people like you, or for anybody who happens to think that they aren't good enough for Jesus to want to hang out with, you may be a very likely candidate for Jesus to invite to follow him. No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter what you believe, Jesus is not put off or uncomfortable with you. Jesus likes people just like you. And Jesus wants people just like you and just like me to want to hang out with him. Well, the Jewish religious leaders who were there that day weren't too pleased by the developments. They weren't too pleased by Jesus hanging out with these people. So Matthew tells us, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Why is a really good question. But another thing that's important to note is that this question comes from the Jewish religious leaders outside the house. No good Jewish Pharisee would ever associate with a tax collector, let alone attend a party at a tax collector's home, let alone attend a party at a tax collector's home where there were many tax collectors and sinners. They were highly offended that Jesus would associate with tax collectors and sinners. They would never do such a thing. And here's how Jesus responds to their question about why he would do such a thing. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Now, on the surface, this would seem highly offensive to Matthew and his friends who were gathered at the party. I mean, I would assume that none of us would take too kindly to being thrown in to the group of being labeled as the sick. But the point that Jesus is making is that the tax collectors and sinners aren't pretending to be someone they're not. They understand they don't have it together. They understand how they're viewed by others. They understand how they stand in relationship with God. And he contrasts that with the Pharisees who think they're healthy. They think they have it all together. And the point that Jesus is making is the people who know they don't have it all together are likely candidates to be invited to follow Jesus because they have an accurate view of themselves, an accurate view of where they stand in relationship with God, and an accurate view of what they need in relationship to following Jesus. Jesus knew exactly what the tax collectors and sinners needed. Jesus knew exactly what the Jewish religious leaders were thinking. Jesus knew exactly what all of them needed. And regardless of anything, the invitation was to follow. Well, if being labeled among the sick was offensive to Matthew and his friends, Jesus isn't quite done offending yet as he directs his next statement personally and specifically at the Jewish religious leaders. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." The phrase "go and learn" would have been incredibly offensive to the Jewish religious leaders. They viewed themselves as the learned experts in the law. Some of them believed they had learned everything about the law there was to learn. They knew everything about how the law connected to relationship with God. They knew everything about God. There was nothing more for them to learn. They had devoted their lives to learning about the Jewish scriptures. They had devoted their lives to understanding these things. And so for Jesus to say, "Go and learn," would have almost been like drawing a line in the sand, a huge challenge, an offense to them. And Jesus says that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. That would have been a direct quote from something in the Jewish scriptures by the prophet Hosea. And Jesus is clearly making a point that the Jewish religious leaders had gotten so wrapped up in the do's and don'ts of religion that they had missed the point of relationship. They had missed the point of the invitation to follow. And Jesus, in case they don't understand the point that he's making, he goes on to say, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus wasn't content to just hang out in the Jewish synagogues with other Jewish people who believed the way Jewish people believed. He wasn't content to let the many tax collectors and sinners go without inviting them to follow. Jesus wasn't content to allow people to live without understanding what right relationship with God could be in their lives. So he simply invited people to follow. No matter where you are, the invitation that Jesus extended to people to follow is the same invitation that Jesus extends to you. There is no sin that puts you outside an invitation to follow Jesus. No matter what you believe about Jesus, no matter what you believe about God, no matter what category you would put yourself in, or no matter what category somebody else would put you in, none of it would put you outside the realm of an invitation to follow Jesus. Regardless of anything, Jesus invites people to follow. Now, clearly, Jesus wanted to go after people who didn't believe the right things or behave the right ways and introduce them to a new path of following him, to believe the right things and to behave the right way. But he did it in such a different way. He did it in a different way than the Jewish religious leaders of his day. The message of the Pharisees was, don't be like that and you can join us. In other words, the religion of the Jewish Pharisees was, go get your act together, and when you get your act together and you can believe what we believe and you can behave the way that we behave, then you can come and be a part of us. And when you believe and behave like we do, then God will accept you. It's a version of Jesus says. It's a version of religion says, not even what Jesus says. But Jesus approached it differently. He came with a different message. His message was, follow me, and you won't be like that. And Jesus says, you may not have your act together. You may not have all of your belief system intact. You may not believe the right things. You may not behave the right way. But follow me, and you'll discover how to believe the right things and behave the right ways. And you won't do it because it's a version of Jesus says. You'll do it because of relationship. You'll do it because you're following me. Every person who was invited to follow Jesus was a sinner. Every person who said yes to following Jesus was a sinner. And every person who made the decision to follow Jesus, including people like me and including people like you, whoever has made the decision to follow Jesus will grapple with this question every day. Am I following? Jesus isn't content to leave us in a broken relationship with God. He invites us to follow. He invites us to discover how to believe the right things. He invites us to discover how to behave the right ways. He invites us to follow him, which simply means doing what Jesus did and believing what Jesus believed. And he made those things clear. And he invites us into a relationship with him. And so one of the questions that remains before we even get to the question, am I following, is, will you follow? As you begin to head out into the rest of your day, here are three questions that can help get or maybe keep the conversation going. And here are the questions. In what ways do you think that people perceive following Jesus as a game of Jesus Says? How would you describe the difference between an invitation into a set of rules and an invitation into a relationship? What made Jesus comfortable with people nothing like him, and people nothing like him want to be with Jesus? So if those three questions will help get and keep the conversation going. If you want more questions to dig into, you can download the Next Step Conversation Guide and get together. You can go through it individually. You can get together with a friend, get together with a spouse, a child, even gather a small group of people and take the next step in applying what it means to follow Jesus through those questions. Let me pray for it as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this story about a guy named Matthew who clearly didn't have his act together, and for what we can discover about our own lives in areas that we don't have our acts together. Thank you for the invitation that Jesus gave to Matthew to follow. And thank you for the invitation that Jesus gives to each of us to follow. Help each and every one of us figure out our next step in following Jesus and connecting in right relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that this time has helped you take a step in relationship with God and what it means to follow Jesus. I hope you'll connect with us again next time.
Thanks again.
As we dig
in
a little bit
more,
hope
this message
in what it means to follow Jesus
in your relationship with
Thanks
God.
Again for if connecting with the online campus
connect,
of Hurricane
check
Community
out HCC's
Church.
Website,
and we hope you'll connect with us
media,
again the next
and YouTube
time.
Channels.